First Epistle of Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Here we find the Apostle Peter speaking of that good way in which the children of God should walk. He says in verse 5, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
Speaks of what is in my mind.
such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labour. Now there's a great truth in that, a great depth in that, and Peter knew it. Oh, Peter knew what it was to go out and to weep bitterly as he was found denying his Lord and Master. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down and there was none to help. Would you be there, dear child of God, in all the sad state of your heart? Have you been there, rebelling against the Lord? This poor sinner, and I feel I know what I speak of. But oh, do we not know the truth in our heart? But God gives grace to the humble. Oh, we know it, but we cannot turn ourselves. Oh, do you know that place? Oh, you won't walk in the ways of the Lord. There is that within you that yearns to be found in submission to the will of the Lord. And yet there is that within which rebels. Oh, there is that warfare in your heart, poor sinner. Oh, you're not alone in it. You're not alone. This is the way of many of the Lord's dear children. But it is to such that the apostle speaks. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Oh, this is the sweet place of submission to all the Lord's will. We have those characters, you know, in the Word of God that are laid before us, who have been found in that humble place. Oh, it's a place of mercy. It's a place of peace. Oh, to lie submissive in his hands and no will but his. There's no place like it. Oh, no matter how deep your trouble, how deep your sorrow, if the Lord brings you into that humble place, I say it's a sweet place. It's a place of peace to the Lord's own dear people. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. It's wonderful, you know, when we can see that those things that happen to us are according to the will of the Lord. Oh, that it is his way for us, that this is the way wherein he is leading us. We find that place of submission to the will of the Lord, I say, is a precious, precious place of peace. You may remember the servant of the Lord, David, when he was brought into great trouble. He sinned against the Lord regarding Bathsheba. And you know, David was told by Nathan the prophet that his iniquity was pardoned, but that he should be brought into great trouble, that trouble should arise out of his own house. And we find David repenting. A sweet grace of repentance, that which alone is given by God. And God gave David repentance, and he came and he penned that sweet Psalm 51, which has been a blessing to many of the Lord's children over the years, and we find David as he flees from the face of Absalom, his son, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. Now here is David, humble before his God. Here is David owning his sin before the Lord. And you may remember that as he went, there was one, Shimei, who came out and cursed David. And he threw stones and he threw dust at David. And David was in that humble place. We find that one, Abishai, he says, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take up his head." And the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?" And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." Now there is a spirit of humility, a seen in David. Oh, David saw every cause why he should be brought into this trouble. And you know, if we rightly have our eyes opened, we can see every cause why the Lord should contend with us. All that sweet spirit shown by a name. Oh, that we could ever walk in that place. You know, I remember when I had to go before the church at Ebenezer Craigie with regard to the ministry. And that evening I got to get back, and I was out of business quite a distance away, and I sat back with just about enough time to do it, and I ran in a bend, and there was a great line of traffic. And before, there was a farm tractor going on the road, and it seemed as though all was impossible. And you know, I'm of that hasty spirit. But the Lord so blessed me at that time that this word came, "Let it curse, for the Lord has said." And oh, that sweet spirit of humility, oh, how it proved to be a blessing as I sat behind that procession, which moved slowly. And I got there in time, and I was helped to speak to the Lord's people, and to say a few things in the preaching of the gospel. And you know, I shall never forget that by my nature I would have been most rebellious, but the Lord gave that spirit of humility. Oh, and so we can come likewise with the apostle with his exhortation, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Oh, maybe there is someone here this morning that has come into the Lord's house in that rebellious state. I know not. Feeling that all these things are against them. Oh, if you're a child of God, all these things are for you. You know, just for David. He was brought to learn by blessed experience that fellowship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his suffering. Oh, it's our trials, it's our perplexities, it's our downshifting, you know, our valley experiences that bring us into a knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We find the Lord's servant Micah, the prophet. He was one who knew that way. He said, I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. And so we could go through the Bible and find those characters in that sweet place. Also comes to mind one who was brought into great trouble. That was Habakkuk, and he says this, he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon thine high places. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And we read, did we not, of that perfect pattern of humility, as we read of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, we find there in that second chapter of Philippians, let this mind be, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now here we have our great example, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What a stoop did the Lord Jesus Christ make as he came from heaven's high court above, came to dwell upon the earth, came to suffer, bleed and die, the just for the unjust, but made himself of no reputation. Oh, how we love a reputation, do we not? Oh, how we would hesitate to bear reproach. Oh, how we like to be well thought of. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now here was the perfect pattern of humility, as the Lord Jesus Christ walked on this sin-cursed earth. How he set that example for his people. And one said, we do it most but taste the cup. The Lord himself had drunk it up. All those little troubles, those little circumstances that bring us into rebellion, oh, compare them to the Hebrews in those early chapters, he records this. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh, we learn to obediently read by the things that he suffered. And you will find, as you look at the children of God, those that walk humbly, those that walk closest to the Lord, are often those who walk through a path of suffering. Those that bear much reproach, those that know much of tribulation, these are those that humble themselves. These are those that are found walking closest to the Lord. These are the men and women of prayer. We've known some, have we not, as we have seen them walk, the song which one I remember, one of a dear grandmother I shall never forget, walked through many places of trial and of trouble and of affliction, and yet she was a humble woman. The Apostle Paul was, you know, we find the Apostle, I believe, in writing to the Philippians, he could say this: I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be poor and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And he gives the secret of it. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility ever comes before honor. The word of God bears it out. And while we're walking in a rebellious way, while we're rebelling against the Lord, you know, we realize that separation. But as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He knoweth that we are but dust. He knows the child is brought to the Father in humility, naturally speaking. How the father's heart turns toward the child. Oh, you fathers who have had to punish your children. Oh, how when the child has repented, the child has come in humility to you, the child has come and apologized and confessed his fault. Has your heart not gone out to your children? Or has not that love of a father burned in your heart? And so it is with God. So it is with God. Oh, he loves to see those penitent sinners returning. The Lord, when he was here on earth, it's recorded in the 7th chapter of Luke, that one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat at meat. And there was a woman who came, a woman in the city which was a sinner, and she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster box of ointment, and nevertheless she stood at his feet, behind him, he was the humble place. He was one that felt unworthy of the least of all his mercies. He was one convicted of her sins. He was one in shame coming, as it were, if she could but touch the Lord. And she comes behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Then the Pharisee, you may remember, looked on and said, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman it is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Say on." And the Lord speaks of those two debtors, one that owes 500 pence and one that owes 50. And he says, "When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will loving most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? All this humble soul that came to the feet of Jesus, this one that came weeping behind him at his feet, this one that came in this humble way." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven. All thy sins are forgiven." This is the compassionate Lord God. This is he who loves to see his children come in that humble way, confessing their sins. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We find, if we look into the early books of Moses, in one place it says, "Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee these many years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no." Or can you remember a few spots and places? Dear child of God, have you a Bethel you can go back to, that place where you felt to be at the very ends of the earth? Or that place of great need in your soul experience? That time when the Lord brought you into that place of humility by his grace, and nothing less than the grace of God, you know, will bring you there, will bring you into that spot of that place of blessing. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And all the way, the Lord leads his people through this wilderness of earth. He is working for their good. Oh yes, he's working for their good. We're read in our reading, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All these circumstances, they don't come by chance. Oh, if you thought into a place of great trial, be not surprised. Oh, this is the way wherein the Lord has never led his people. This is the way where he brings you to his hands. This is the way where he brings you into prayer to the throne of grace. Without your trouble, without your trial, without your feeling of insufficiency, would you pray? If you would, be different today. Oh, when things go so easy, when things all seem to go right, is the throne of grace precious to you? Do you not languish in prayer? Do you not find that cowardness within? But all the Lord knows, and he brings you into trouble, brings you into trial, brings you into perplexity, brings you to his feet, brings you to pray. Blessed place, I say, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. That he may exhort you in due time. Oh, the end of the purposes of God with his people is to exhort them. Oh, yes, he takes the beggar from the dunghill and sets him amongst the princes of his people. You know, in our simplicity, in our early days, we may look at the way of the Lord, and we may have our ideas of how the Lord will bring us to heaven at last. But you know, our ideas will ever prove different to his. Oh, we shall ever find that the will of God is such that shall bring a conflict in our experience. You know, you find in writing to the Romans, we look at the fifth chapter, he says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. What you say? Glory in tribulation. Glory in tribulation. That is foreign to the flesh. So it is. It's foreign to the flesh, but it's not foreign to the way of our Lord. Oh, these are they who have come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, and that shall be said of every child of God. Oh, he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Oh, tribulation worketh patience. You give a child its own way, you know, and it's spoilt. It's spoilt. Our impatient is a spoiled child. Our spoiled child will put out its hand and expect to receive whatever it wants. We've seen them, have we not, the spoiled children. But you know, the Lord has no children like that. Oh no, they may throw a tantrum from time to time. They may be brought into a place of rebellion, but he chastises them. Oh, he brings them into tribulation, and that tribulation worketh patience, works humility. Oh, he brings their heart down with labour, and then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And we read in the psalm, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Blessed word, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, blessed chain is that, blessed chain, tribulation, experience, hope, love of God shed abroad in the heart. This is the way of the saints. This is the way that the children of God ever walked. You know, if you look into the Psalms, you'll find the language of a living soul. And in the Psalms, all the experiences of the Lord's children abound. Or we find the psalmist brought in humility to cry to the Lord, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Is this not your experience, dear child of God? Or is this not a pointer as to whether we are walking in the ways of the Lord? You know, more than true religions, the real religions, more than notion, something must be known about. And it's only by Blessed Spirit that a child of God is brought to be more like the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, in one place the Apostle says, but growing grace, and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And it's by the trial, it's by the trouble, it's by the crosses that come in our path, that we are brought into subjection, brought by the grace of God to yield to him. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, that exalt. You know, as we follow the Lord, we shall be brought into that place of exalt. We read, did we not, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, or given him a name which is above every name. And you know what name is written upon the Lord's dear people? Oh, he writes his name upon them. Oh, he writes his name upon them. Oh, what exalting is like unto that of the Lord's own dear people. What name is better than the name of sons and of daughters? Oh, troubled child, perplexed child of God, as you are brought into that place of trial, it is that he might exalt you in his. Oh, it's to make you to realize your nothingness. Oh, it's to make you to realize your dependence upon the Lord. It's to make you realize the terrible sin of your own heart. It is to make you to cry to him for mercy. Oh, this is the Lord's way. This is the Lord's way with his people. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How blessed if we can see in a measure that the Lord's hand is upon us. If we eyes out, our pathway, and see those spots and places where the Lord hath brought us in that humble place, brought us to close Him, brought us in submission to His own holy will. I will just mention one little spot of experience before I close. When I was seeking a partner in life, you know, there was one young lady I was very keen on, and I prayed to the Lord that she might come my way. And I remember that it was in my early days of experience. I'd been out into the world, a great sinner, and I believe the Lord had led me back to start attending His house again. And I did so desire this girl, and I prayed night after night. I prayed, you know, things went adverse. And in the end, I was brokenhearted. I would really, really mean it. I was brokenhearted. Oh, God. And I remember one night that the Lord, in His mercy, brought into that place of submission. And you know, I think I really prayed my first little prayer, spirit-ignited prayer, and I said, Lord, do provide a wife of my choosing. And you know, when I was brought to that place, then the Lord began to work. Oh, the Lord began to work for me. And then the Lord, within a few weeks, brought me into contact with my wife, my present wife, and He took one out of the world and brought us together. And you know, we came to that place where we were both baptized, and neither knew the other was coming. And this was the way of the Lord, and I look back to that spot, that place where I wept my fill with tears that night. I wept before the Lord and said, Lord, Thy will, and that's humility. That's the place of humility, where we can come and say, Lord, Thy will be done. Then we're brought into that an understanding of the mind of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, He says, not my will, but Thine be done. And this is the purpose. This is the purpose of the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He might perform the will of the Father, brought into perfect obedience with regard to the salvation of His own dear people, that number which were given into the hands of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord was brought to that place where He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Oh, if it be possible, but not my will, but Thine be done. And that's the place of humility. Oh, that's the place of humility. Oh, we could say, I always do those things that please Him. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty.